minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're ready to rock and roll today. Oh, my goodness. Angel, it's Football Friday. It is a critical, critical weekend for every single team that we talk about. I mean, that there's no joke there. Can Air Force bounce back? Can Colorado State start getting some of these games now where perhaps they're favored in? Can UNC build off of the Lamar win and win at homecoming? And there's pressure on that game. Can Colorado do anything like score some touchdowns? Wyoming at BYU. Is Wyoming the real deal? They're 21.5-point dogs to BYU. And then, of course, the Broncos hosting San Francisco. Whew. It's a big weekend, man. Just absolutely crucial for these area teams that we talk about on a regular basis. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. Can't wait. Got a lot to hit. We got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. I'll have Cody Tucker on the show from 7220sports.com. And Cowboys, kind of the bright spot. I'm glad we started talking more Cowboys, to be real honest with you. they've been a bright spot so far as the area teams. I'll have my picks coming up. My picks are in a critical state, too, Angel. Thursday night special, obviously, I'm great there. 2-1, feeling fantastic about that. Thank you, Susan and Cheryl. You're great. But my local picks, you know, are struggling. 5-10. 5-10. So we need a monster weekend here to try to get back. I'm trying to work my way back to 500. That's the goal here. And then we'll just kind of see what happens. Be a lot of fun. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you feel like after two games, what you've seen with Russell Wilson, do you think the Broncos made a mistake signing him at the beginning of the season? Because that was kind of the debate, right? Should the Broncos wait and see what they have? They got him for 2 years. Do you just wait? And now in hindsight, I mean, I don't think Russ is the problem. I think Russ, the Seattle game, I thought he looked pretty good. I thought the Houston game, you know, kind of a mix there. Fourth quarter, he was very good. But now at this point, is he living up to, and again, it's 2 weeks. I know, I get that, I understand that. But you're paying him a lot of money. Are you worried about that? 7 years, dude. You got 7 years with Russell Wilson. The deal's worth $245 million over 5 years once that takes place in two seasons. $165 million in guarantee. I mean, this will be the question, right? Now you're paying him a lot of money. What's going to be there as far as signing other big names or re-signing some of these big names? Because, I mean, at some point, you know, you got Cortland Sutton locked up. You got Justin Simmons locked up. But, you know, Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, a couple years down the road, probably going to demand decent contracts. So, in hindsight, should the Broncos have forced the issue and waited a little bit longer? Now, again, we know that the idea with Russell was probably kind of like, hey, show me the love now. I might not show you the love in 2 years. You know, if you don't sign this thing, and then we see that all the time. Oh, you didn't think I was good enough then. I guess I'll just pack up my things and leave in 2 seasons. Are you worried about it? Are you concerned? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. After 2 games, are you concerned about Russell Wilson's long-term contract with the Broncos? 75% of the hooligans are saying yes. They're concerned.
I would tend to agree. I think the common trend in the NFL is you get your quarterback, have him play a couple years, you give him 2-3 years to kind of figure it out if it's going to be, you know, profitable. And then you give him the contract. We saw it with Josh Allen. We're seeing it. You know, we're going to see it with Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, waiting on Lamar Jackson, obviously. And with Broncos, it's, no, we got our guy from the trade. Let's just go ahead and give him all this money now. Because, you know, I mean, granted, you know what Russ can do. He's been in the league. He's a veteran. He's won a Super Bowl, all that. But for me, on the outside looking in, not as a Broncos fan, was the team itself necessarily built up so that all you need to do is add Russ and suddenly you're good to go?
I mean, listen, you won seven games last year. You tell me that Russell Wilson's the quarterback now? That's easy. 10 wins. Should be. That's the idea.
Should be.
That's easy.
Doesn't
10 wins.
Like
now, I don't.
And you know, we see it with these big quarterback contracts. It can really handicap a team, you know, not in the first year, obviously, but 2-3 years down the line, where, like you said, you got to sign a Patrick Surtain, a Javonte Williams.
Well, you don't have your first. You don't have your first round draft picks now for this. You know, this upcoming season. So if this season is abysmal, it doesn't matter. There's no like silver lining at the end of this thing if it's a rough season because you don't have a first round pick, and so that's obviously an issue. And then yeah, you're handcuffed by these quarterback. Why do you think Baltimore? Look at Lamar Jackson, dude. Lamar Jackson has done nothing but light it up so far in 2 weeks. And they're not signing him. Injury, they're worried about, you know, his longevity. I get that. But they're also looking at the long-term plan. You know, is this a guy we can grow with while also signing other guys to surround him? And Lamar's having a season so far. Russell, on the other hand, we're kind of just, you know, it's all right. Like I said, that Seattle game was pretty good. The numbers are pretty good. But when you sign a Russell Wilson, you want to see him cook. I don't think any of us can say he's cooked so far. We haven't seen any cooking done by Russell, meaning he's not running around creating a ton of plays that save games or save drives or whatever. I think Broncos country is kind of in unison here. Javonte Williams is the key to success, not Russell Wilson. You know, he's 33 years old. He will be 40 at the end of this contract. So, listen, I'm not concerned, but I'm definitely like on the edge of my seat wondering, what's Sunday night going to look like? What's the next week at Las Vegas going to look like? So, yeah, the pressure for me, like, is there concern? No, there's potential for it, though. If we go in the next 2-3 weeks and we're not seeing Russell do Russell things, then, yeah, you're going to be in a... Again, it's so early that we're like in this, is Nathaniel Hackett the right guy? Was Russell Wilson's contract a good move? Though that's where we are. We're kind of questioning it. However, you have a lot of season left where you go win Sunday night, suddenly things look a heck of a lot different. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night. The good is my Thursday night special. I picked the Browns to cover. I feel fantastic about that. And, you know, Pittsburgh's not a good team. I don't know if Cleveland's a good team, but Pittsburgh's offense, man, they just don't look good. I mean, Trubisky, how long does Trubisky have as the starting quarterback for this team? This offense is not going. Now, this is the first game this season. He did cross over the 200-yard mark, just barely, 207. But his QBR was 57. His rating was 81. Jacoby Brissett, on the other hand, 21 to 31, 220 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not bad from him, really. Nick Chubb did his thing. 23 carries and 113 yards with a touchdown. And Najee Harris, yet another game where 13 carries is all he got for 56 yards. Are you surprised by that number? 13 carries and kind of, it was a pretty fairly close game for the most part.
I'm a little surprised. You'd like to see your starting running back maybe get upwards of 20 carries. And I think Najee is the type of, you know, physical guy that can handle that kind of workload. But, I mean, the Steelers just look bad.
They do.
And I don't know if that's just because you lost the heart and soul with TJ Watt or what, but they look bad. And
they do.
Cleveland just, they're just hanging around.
They're just hanging around.
Doing their thing.
2-1.
Brownie the Elf.
2-1. Brownie the Elf. The bad is the Rockies lose. Okay, moving on. Boston Celtics. This thing is getting weird with Coach Ime Udoka. They suspended him for the full season. 2022-23 season. Effective immediately. They cited violations of team policies in their announcement. Sources previously told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that Udoka had an intimate relationship with a female member of the franchise's staff, which is not allowed. Suspension is effective immediately, and a decision about his future with the organization will be made later. Now, again, I don't have concrete stuff in front of me. I have a lot of rumors surrounding, so we're not gonna talk about rumors. But you're seeing rumors float around about this, that maybe he was inappropriate. Was he inappropriate? And if that's the case, then he's gone. But if it was a consensual relationship, then obviously they're going to do the year thing, and that's it. But this is crazy, man. Season-long suspension. You don't see this very much for NBA head coaches.
No, definitely an interesting situation. We won't get into the rumors and what's going on Twitter and all
right.
that, but it's weird that you see a coach in this kind of position.
It's very strange because, you know, you expect your coaches and your leaders to obviously lead by example. So when bad things happen, you go, ooh, that's tough. You know, how are you gonna lead these guys and say, don't do that kind of stuff? Holyoke texting in, I feel the same way about Russ's contract as I do MPJ's. Paying for future value is tough to swallow. They're similar, I suppose. MPJ's never realized his full potential yet. Russell, we've seen him. You know, we've seen a Super Bowl championship from Russell Wilson. We've seen another trip to the Super Bowl from Russell Wilson. But MPJ, yeah, Nuggets Media Days on Monday. I'm trying to see if I'm getting out there waiting for my email back on credentials and stuff. But I'm not sure yet. But that you got Avalanche preseason action this weekend. And then the Nuggets Monday, Media Day, which means they're all here. All the players are coming back. Joker's coming back from Serbia. And it's check-in time. It's time to start getting your preseason. We're a month away from the regular season, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Joker's back. Sorry to watch him play again.
Oh, my goodness. So I think I saw an NBA rankings thing. He's coming in at number 2 behind Giannis. Listen, that's better than what I always just expect the NBA is going to keep putting him in the, you know, 5, 6, 7 range. But at least, you know, you're seeing rankings come out and he's more like, you know, he's in that top 2, him and Giannis. Yeah, I'm ready for this Nuggets team. You know, what's Jamal Murray going to be like coming back? We're finally going to get some of those answers. I'm so excited about that.
Hearing good things.
Oh, me too.
I don't want to get too optimistic, but I think Jamal might have a very good year.
You think he'll recover faster than what Klay Thompson did? Because Klay's, it wasn't until like the last month or two of the season, and then he started coming on.
And so I think Jamal from the jump is going to be maybe not Bubble Murray, but smaller Bubble Murray.
Yeah, Bubble Murray was like one of the best players in the NBA. If you could get Bubble Murray paired with Joker now, oh my goodness, you'd have a championship. If Jamal Murray plays like he did in the bubble, the Nuggets will be lifting the trophy at the end of the season. There's no question in my mind. However, I'm not optimistic that we'll see that guy. I haven't seen him before or after. Even before the injury, we weren't seeing Bubble Murray. And then Michael Porter Jr. was an interesting trajectory, too, because at the end, not last season, but the season before, he was coming on. Remember at the beginning of 2 seasons ago, he looked lost, just absolutely lost. And then it kind of started to click a little more. His defense got a little bit better. I don't think he's ever going to be known as a great defensive player. And then obviously his scoring, his confidence is up. You know, this guy can score 9 points in 30 seconds if you need him to. But then you got him in the playoffs. And he was handled in the playoffs. He could not figure it out. The defenses doubled him up, wouldn't allow him to get the ball in the corner or on the three-point line. And he could not solve that mystery. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't drive to the hoop and be that guy. He's just a shooter. So you're saying, okay, well, MPJ got better, got pretty good in the regular season, then faded in the playoffs. That was enough for the Nuggets, though, and that Tim Conley at the time, to sign MPJ to a long-term deal. Max contract for him. And he wasn't good. What did he play? 9 games? 11 games? He didn't look good at all. And then he got hurt. So he missed the season.
Sorry.
And that's your fault because you bought the jersey.
Yep.
No more jersey buying for you.
Nope.
No more jersey buying for
Joe. He just dropped the new jerseys, too.
You liked them, too, didn't you?
I do like them.
I tell you what I like. I like their, like, reddish ones or whatever those are. I like them.
Flat iron
reds. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying I want them to wear them all the time, but I think they're cool, man. I want that jersey.
I want the old school powder blue Nuggets jerseys.
The old one, like Mellow
time?
Like
the ones
time?
That Mellow used
Ooh,
to wear.
Oh, I hated those. I love
those. Would look so good now.
Oh, I hated those. I like the logo switch kind of going with the pickaxes. Yeah, I like that. That was good. What'd you think of Brownie the Elf? You know, seeing it in a game on Thursday Night Special, what'd you think of Brownie the Elf mascot in the middle of the field?
A little distracting from what was going on in the game. The game itself wasn't, you know, insane. They were kind of talking about, you know, Brownie, the commentators, Kirk and Al.
Kirked.
I don't know.
Do you think the broadcast was any better?
I felt like it was definitely better.
I still feel like Al's like, not Al with
yeah no
Kirk.
Kirk was definitely carrying the game last night. I think.
Yeah, I don't. Al just doesn't. Al's amazing. Al Michaels,
he's
dude.
He's a great play-by-play guy, oh. But not so much conversationally with Kirk.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, he was so. What was he with Collinsworth before that? Those two were great. He was great there. But chemistry's a big deal. You could be the greatest broadcaster in the world. If you don't have that right chemistry, it might not click. 22 minutes after the hour, the Avs start their preseason this weekend. You got Nathan MacKinnon locked up. Is there pressure on the Avs? You expect them to repeat. Times they are a-changing. We have a Colorado Avalanche team, you know, that's for the past 4 years. We expected them to be in the mix for a Stanley Cup. They finally get over the hump in that second round and get one. And now are the expectations. That's where we are. You know, obvious playoffs, yes. Past first round, yes. Got to make it past second, yes. Now we're kind of like, dude, there's no reason this team shouldn't be in the mix. I don't think they got, Kadri, that sucked. But they're so loaded. And then you think maybe the goalie change might be okay. Georgiev, is that the guy? Maybe he was supposed to be a starter last year for his team and then, you know, ended up the guy that was in front of him was pretty damn good. So they just said, why break it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So the potential's there. You get a goalie that's above average for this team, look out. 23 minutes after the hour, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are you concerned at all about Russell Wilson's long-term contract now that you've seen a couple of games? Broncos are 1-1, but a very sloppy 1-1. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the Avs and what to expect. Also the Nuggets, too, because we're getting in that mode. There's a lot more going on than just Denver Broncos and college football. We are almost to hockey and basketball season. It's a great time to be alive. We'll be right back.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Loving on the rocks, liquor, man. I like to point this out, and people ask me, like, why are you... The cleanest liquor store I've ever been in. And that's a thing. Like, sometimes you go into these liquor stores, even, like, prominent ones, and there's lights kind of, sparking off on the side, shadowy, the floor is sticky. Things aren't organized in a very well, you know, craft beers here, but also some craft beers over there. No, they have it all sectioned out at On the Rocks Liquor, and I really appreciate that. They've got their drive-thru open. They're open until 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. They do free wine and beer tastings every single Friday. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. And, you know, now that you get Nathan MacKinnon locked up for the Avs, I think the realistic expectations from fans now is, okay, I know Nazem Kadri's gone, and, you know, you're replacing your goalie, who we all kind of said was maybe about average. You know, the playoffs, he wasn't great. He did enough. Now they got this Georgiev. They signed Evan Rodriguez, who's kind of the guy that's supposed to fill the void from Kadri leaving. So, I mean, I still think those expectations are certainly there for the Avs as they start preseason on Sunday. I mean, that happened fast. It's just like we had such a fun summer. Like, they saved our summer. We didn't have to talk about, you know, a spiraling Rockies team. We got to talk about the Avs going all the way. And when the Nuggets were eliminated quickly in that first round, the Avs did it. And that was so entertaining, man. Relatively easy if you look at the wins versus losses, but there was some stress there. Getting past that second round was obviously we were in that mode of, is Jared Bednar on the hot seat if they can't get past the second round? Because it was year after year after year, 3 years in a row, where the Avs were expected to be contenders, couldn't get past the second round. So Bednar goes from, should the Avs look elsewhere, to he ain't going anywhere. I mean, that guy, he is a fan favorite now.
I remember the 2-3-day-long debate about who the goalie was going to be and whether or not we would have a chance at winning a Stanley Cup with Bednar because of his goalie decision.
And he made the right ones. He kept making the right choice. And those were big coaching decisions where we went back and said, man, he called it right. Cody Tucker's coming up next. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to ease into our Football Friday at 1 o'clock. But Cody's going to talk to us about these Wyoming Cowboys. They come off of a monster win over Air Force. They're 3-1, three wins away from qualifying for a bowl game. They have a huge test coming up, and that's tomorrow night against BYU. That'll be on ESPN2, because BYU is a ranked team, 19. So can the Cowboys cover? The spread is 21.5. I mean, should we be asking a different question? Can the Cowboys win? The spread against Air Force was, what was it? Was it 13 or 14? It was something like that. So we're going to talk to Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com on the other side of this break. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Don't look now, but the Wyoming Cowboys have won three in a row. That includes knocking off the Air Force Falcons, a team that most of us believed, and maybe still believe, that they'll be in the Mountain West Conference Championship at the end of the season. But Wyoming had other plans. Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com, he's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Cody, you had a feeling this might happen on Friday, or what was that, Thursday, Friday, whatever
Friday.
That was.
Yeah, you know, I'm not shocked, man. There's only like a three-game difference in this series, and some of the best Air Force teams have come to die in Laramie. And just, you know, it's not surprising. When I saw a 16-point spread, I thought it was absolutely insane. Is this Air Force team really good? Heck yeah, they are. But Cowboys are ready, man. They're always ready for that option. They play it better than anybody in the league.
They have a tough defense, and they also run the ball well. I always say, like, their offense is a lot like Air Force's, save for that triple option. But my goodness, dude, I want to get this guy on the show at some point. Titus Swen, he had 100 yards rushing, but it was that final possession that was just amazing to me. That's when Craig Bohl, when you could just say, hey, Titus, here's the football. Go win this game. Go close this thing out. What a freaking beast that guy is.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday that, you know, you're handing the ball off on a 3rd and 13. Usually that's going to make people's head explode. But Titus cuts it backside, and he says, you know, he got in trouble for that a lot in high school, he said, but he had to kick it backside, and nobody had a bigger smile on that kid's face. And I don't know if you saw his interview with CBS Sports, but after the game, he's usually a quiet, mild-mannered guy. He was jacked up after that one.
He should be, man. I mean, you come off, you get a win like that, that's just hard-nosed football. Wyoming's up 10-0 at the half, but, you know, and then Air Force made it kind of interesting, bouncing back for a few scores. But again, the way Wyoming closed that thing out, you know, and Andrew Peasley wasn't perfect, but he made the plays when he needed to.
Yeah, you know, honestly, Brady, you can boil it down to this. Wyoming gave Air Force a dose of their own medicine, and that's all there is to it. They started the game off with a 15-play drive that carved up about, 8 minutes off the clock, and they put points on the board. And then at the end of the game, with that, aided by that Titus Wynn run you were talking about, they never gave the ball back. I mean, how many times have we seen the Falcons do that to people? The Cowboys had the ball with 4:47 left in the game, and they just absolutely refused to give the ball back.
People are pumped, man. I can hear it there where you are. People are
sounds like the BYU locker room with my kid hanging out.
So, all right, you get this huge win. You said it on our last segment. You said, are the Cowboys about ready to go turn the Mountain West upside down? And you know what? Obviously, we know they beat UNC. Tulsa, you said that Tulsa game, too. The coaching staff said, hey, make no mistake about it. That was a big win for us. And that probably gave them the confidence needed, looking to beat this Air Force team. Now you're 3-1.
Yeah, no, it's a huge win because, this could have easily been the other way. This could have been 1-4, possibly 1-4 after Provo. And that's a rough start, and that's rough to overcome, and it's also rough on the psyche. And now these guys are flying high, but on the flip side, like Craig Bohl always says, they're so young, he doesn't even know if they know any better. He doesn't even think his players know that they were 16-point dogs. He doesn't suspect they're going to know that they're 22-point dogs against BYU. They just go and get better. After Illinois, like we talked about, Brady, the sky was falling. It just wasn't falling in the most important place, which is the Wyoming locker room.
Yeah, and you're right. They stayed together. They stayed true to each other. And now they've rattled off 3 wins in a row. And now a monster test coming up against BYU. That's going to be on ESPN2. What an opportunity for the Cowboys. And, I watched that BYU-Oregon game. And Oregon made BYU's defense just look silly last week.
Yeah, BYU's had a really tough time with on defense especially, but even on offense, they had one of the best offensive lines returning, and they haven't even cracked 100 yards as a team in their last two games. Now, granted, that's against number 9 Baylor, and that's against another top 25 team on the road in Oregon, but their running game has been averaging, I want to say, 2.8 yards per carry over the last 2 weeks, and the Cowboys, as you see with Air Force, that's their specialty. So they stop the run and make BYU one-dimensional. They might be in good shape, but, obviously a one-dimensional BYU team is pretty scary, too. And Jaren Hall's a really good quarterback. Surprise, surprise, there's a really good quarterback at BYU. So, and they're tough, and they're, let's face it, they're tough, they're huge, and they're old. And the Cowboys are the third youngest team in the country right now, and this will be a monumental task to go in there and attempt to knock off a wounded BYU squad.
Do you feel like you said, maybe the Cowboys are too young to know any better, but you got to be going into this game with house money. You just came off of a huge win. Other than you, Cody, I don't know that many people would have said, yeah, after 4 weeks, the Cowboys are going to be 3-1.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think you could put me in that category. I really didn't foresee that happening. I knew they were going to take their lumps. Craig Bohl tells us as much every week, but there's just something about that Air Force game, and there's something about this team, Brady, and I want to say this has a lot to do with Craig Bohl. His mentality is so much different than it's been in years past, and he's really putting his money where his mouth is, and he talks about his love for these players and these funny stories about his young players, and he talks about how much he really likes this team, and it's not just BS. Craig Bohl is a different dude this year, and I think his team is responding, and they're playing really hard for him.
I'm telling you, my respect, again, Craig, it's not like I had any disrespect toward Craig Bohl, but in the offseason, Cody, when you first started coming on the show talking football with us, obviously we talked a lot of basketball last year, but we talked about Craig Bohl. Is this game changing too much for him? Transfer portals, and you just get younger every single year. Can you connect? Can you connect to the point where you can keep guys around? And you're right, there's this new kind of sense about Craig Bohl. He's a different dude. And my goodness, man, the respect factor's got to be off the chart, because at his age, to be able to say, I'm going to change with this game a little bit. I'm not going to change how we do things necessarily, but I'm going to change how I communicate with my players just a little bit. And it seems like it's working so far.
No, it's huge, man. And, he can say that all he wants. But in actually talking to the players, it's not lip service at all. He said, I've had guys say, it was borderline uncomfortable that he came and sat down with us at the training table, because for the last 2 years, we'd walk by him in the hallway and it'd be awkward. And I think we've talked about it before, Brady. He is a total CEO, and he hated COVID-19 because it took all the control out of everybody's hands, mainly his. He didn't like it. He walked around with a weird Andy Reid mask and a 6-foot stick and, and said, get away from me. And, you know, they couldn't ride on buses together and they couldn't eat together. You know, I don't know what Craig's come to Jesus moment was. I don't know if it was the portal. I don't know if somebody got in his ear, but he has changed. And he's been an absolute pleasure to be around, even for the media. I mean, he's never been horrible, but, I mean, he is an absolute pleasure this year.
I love it, man. That's a cool story right there. Just, you know, no matter what happens against BYU, seeing this team kind of grow, stay together, find ways to get some pretty significant wins. And now, you know, again, BYU, huge test. What, first off, staying on that game, what do you think of that spread? What is it, 21.5? Is it 22 or something? Are you optimistic that that's going to be a lot closer than what the wise guys are saying?
You know, I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic. I've been in that stadium for about 7 Wyoming BYU games, and it is an absolute house of horrors. And I will say that the Provo police didn't even let me use my own feet to get out of the stadium last time I was there. So it's a brutal, brutal place to play, Brady. And I just can't get those memories out of my head of how brutal it is and how quick it can turn and how quick you can get 65,000 sober people, you know, raising a lot of heck.
Well, man, I'm looking forward to this one big time. That's, you know, that's when I got circled because I, you know, I'm not going to say I'm predicting Wyoming to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if they make this a game, and who knows, they find themselves in a one-score game late, and, you know, we got Titus Swen on this football team, so anything can happen.
You know, I hate to say this kind of stuff, Brady, but even if they walk out of there with a 7-point loss, 8-9-point loss, I mean, I definitely don't believe in moral victories either, but I think it would be huge to not derail any kind of confidence. But once again, Craig keeps saying how young this team is that he doesn't think their confidence can be messed with. But I think if they put on a really good showing against a really veteran-laden team like BYU in that venue, it would be huge. A win would obviously be ideal, but there's other ways to go about this where you get out of there and you feel good about yourself.
Well, and you look at the rest of the schedule, Cody. After the BYU game, you have San Jose State, then at New Mexico. So there's going to be some opportunities there where, I mean, we're already at that point. We're 3 more games, man. You're going to be bowl eligible. Just 3 more wins.
Yeah, no, it's huge. The schedule sets up really nice. I actually found myself daydreaming about that today, that, man, if they can somehow, some way, find a way to win in Provo, it really sets up nicely with San Jose coming to Laramie and then heading to New Mexico. And then I believe it's Hawaii's lumped in there. And then, you know, it's a couple bye weeks and CSU's obviously not off to a great start. So, I mean, this could really set up nice. It could set up nicely anyway. But if they beat BYU, it could really set up nicely.
Oh, my good. If they beat BYU, we're talking about the Cowboys in that championship game. Like, seriously, yeah. We're talking about what we'd be seeing Wyoming, and I don't know what to expect with Fresno State now. In fact, I haven't even looked at this, but Jake Haener, I don't know what his outlook's looking like.
Yeah, he's been himself so far. He's been steady Eddie. They really blew one against Oregon State, but you know, this could come down to something fun that we never even imagined. The Cowboys and Bulldogs meet in Fresno on the last Friday right after Thanksgiving. It's the last game of the regular season, and you know, I hate to put the cart in front of the horse or the cart in front of the person since we're playing BYU, but, you know, that's huge. That could be a huge game. That could be a lot of fun. And, you know, instead of a horrible finale where nobody's playing for anything, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Cody, what do you got for us that we can check out at 7220sports.com?
I just wrote a column about my BYU memories, and I had to be really, you know, had to keep it semi-professional, so it was hard to share. There's not a lot of shareable memories, so I hope it's not too lame. I hope people enjoy it.
I love it, man. I love what you do, and you just keep up the great work, and we'll be watching that game Saturday night. That's the one that will be on my television Saturday night, so I'm very excited about Wyoming BYU.
Right on, man. I never thought I'd be back in Provo, Utah, but I'm about to hit the road here in about 2 minutes.
Well, all right, be safe. You know, it can be dangerous there, so just be safe.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I'm dangerous in the fact that you probably can't get any kind of, you know, adult beverage or anything like that, so
that
you might have to
dangerous.
Pack your own.
There's going to be a huge line at the ice cream shop, I'm afraid.
All right, my man, Cody, appreciate you, dude.
Have a good day.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Well, the reason I bring up Jake Haener is, you know, he gets hurt, ankle sprain, but it's not going to be season ending, but probably a few weeks. So what does that do for Fresno State? And again, Angel, am I crazy? Am I crazy that I'm saying, okay, BYU, whatever. Whatever. Doesn't necessarily matter to the Cowboys. But They're 1-0 in Mountain West play, and they just beat the best team in the Mountain West Mountain. So the rest of the way through, you know, you look at the schedule and you're thinking, holy cow. I mean, can Wyoming, this young team with this average quarterback but this stud of a running back, damn good defense, can they go beat San Jose State? Get four. That'd be four. So you'd be four. Let's just assume they lose to BYU. But whatever. Still, it's not a conference game. So you go four and you'd be 4-2. 2-0 in the conference. At New Mexico? New Mexico's bad, aren't they? They're pretty bad, aren't they? That's probably a win, isn't it? Are we looking at that with Wyoming now? That's probably a win. Utah State, home? Utah State's not good. You should know that. Alabama, you know, had their eighth-string team in probably in the fourth. And then they're at Hawaii, which at Hawaii is always different than just Hawaii because sure. It's the time change or the change, the jet lag and everything, the distractions. Still, it's got to be a win. And then you're at CSU, and based on what we've seen right now, and again, things change so much, but if those two teams played this weekend, Wyoming's running away with that game.
Yes.
Can't stop Titus Wynn. They wouldn't be able to stop him. And then home against Boise State? That suddenly doesn't seem so. You beat Air Force. And then at Fresno State.
Definitely in the last week, the Mountain West, as you said, has been flipped. But also it's going to be a very competitive Mountain West season for all of these, you know, Boise State, CSU, Fresno State, can they bounce back? And then Wyoming is just hanging out. Like, at the beginning of the year, we didn't think they'd win five games.
Right.
They're two away now.
They're going to get to a bowl game. Unless they just fall apart and all of this, what we've been seeing, is just fool's gold, so to speak. I don't see that happening. So, all right, 10 minutes until the 12 o'clock hour. We got the lunch rush coming up. We got more Broncos talk. We're getting into Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Great stuff from Cody. Cody's just awesome. Great at what he does. Love it. We're trying to get Kyle Fredrickson on the program. Kyle Fredrickson is the Avs beat writer at the Denver Gazette. He was with the Post for a while, but now at the Gazette, and he's going to be the Avs beat writer. So we're looking to have him on, actually, throughout the season. So we'll have an Avs guy on with us. So we'll see if it works. They've got the press conferences and everything at 12:45. So we'll see if we can squeeze him into the 12:05 window and move some things around, Angel. You'll just have to be ready for that. Cables Pub and Grills, locally owned and operated. They've been so since 1972. Man, they have delicious food, wonderful beverages, great place to go for game day. I mean, when they say this is where friends meet, it's the truth. I mean, I've met a lot of friends at Cables. And I know that's where I meet a lot of my clients, my pals. We hook up there. I mean, we were there a couple weeks ago. The staff was just hanging out watching the Rockies game. Excellent place to go. Those personal pizzas. Oof, I could go for one of those this afternoon. All right, when we come back, we'll either be starting with the lunch rush or we're going to have Kyle Fredrickson talk some Colorado Avalanche with us. Either way, it's going to be great. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. We got Football Friday coming up as well. A monster weekend for the teams we talk about. We'll get into more detail there. Broncos-Niners matchup questions, too. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.